We continue with our meditations on the Holy Father's apostolic exhortation on consecrated life. You might just note, when we speak of consecrated, we mean made circuit, made sacred, made holy, made like God. In other words, a perfect synonym for consecrated life would be God-like life. We ask ourselves now, how is a call to the consecrated life a radical vocation? The Latin word for roots is radices. Radix, root, plural, radices. This vocation, I repeat, which not everyone receives, and how equally and sadly true, not everyone who receives this vocation responds to it. It is radical in the same sense, though on our level, in which God made the radical decision to become man. When St. Paul speaks of God emptying himself, in fact, the English word emptying is a pathetic understatement. God went as far, what a statement, as far as God could go without ceasing to be God and becoming one of his creatures. And what did God, in the second person of the Holy Trinity, do? First, as far as, I repeat, our faith will allow us to say it, God remained God. The second person of the Holy Trinity remained the second person of the Holy Trinity. But whatever verb we use, assumed, took on our human nature, the second person, I repeat, divested himself of everything in order to give himself entirely, and the Pope's statement is crucially important, give himself entirely to the will of the Father. Over the years in teaching both Christology, which is the theology of Christ, and soteriology, which is the theology of the redemption, I've never tired telling my students that when God became man and divested himself of everything that God could possibly divest himself of, he then, yes, gave himself entirely to the will of the Father. But hear it and don't forget. To the will of the Father as manifested, as, shall we say, shown. By whom? By the will, or let's pluralize it, by the wills of human beings. Here we talk about surrendering ourselves to the will of God. Beautiful. Oh, how we love to repeat this. Dear Lord, I give myself entirely to your will. Then somebody walks past us without greeting, says something unkind, and we have a problem. My dear, I've told so many people, the will of God is manifested most demandingly, shall I say, most painfully, through the wills of human beings. When Christ was being nailed to the cross, it was human hands that nailed him. It was human hands that scourged him. It was human lips that spat at him. And that, please, don't say it. And that was for Christ the will of the Father. Yes, my friend, if we are still friends. Next question. How does consecrated life demand a total gift of self? Notice, in the previous question, Holy Father already said that consecrated life is a total gift of self. To whom? For Christ, to his Heavenly Father. For us, to God. But now the question is how? It is a special grace, a grace of intimacy, which demands the total gift of oneself by a very definite, specific acceptance of the mystery of Christ in the Church. The stress in this total commitment is in giving up everything out of love for Christ, but hear it without the rest of this sentence. He could be writing poetry. He would not be expressing our faith. Why? In order to cooperate with Christ, who spent his whole life from the first moment of his conception in Mary's womb. And hear it. Any writer you ever read who tells you differently, pardon me, throw the book away. If it's a library book, get permission to throw it away. Christ was fully conscious, not only as God, which is obvious, but as man, from the first moment of his human existence. For the 9 months that we were in our mother's wombs, it's just as well we did not realize, oh no, where am I? Christ did. He knew. All through his life, and especially during his passion and crucifixion, back to where we were. It is not merely a matter of giving up everything, and that everything means, well, what else? Everything. It's not so much giving up, well, paper and a watch which happens not to be mine, or the glasses, which again, somebody generously gave me, or the water. This total self-giving is not only or mainly a totality of quantity. It is mainly a totality of quality. I, with my will, give up and now the big question is the most important question we can ask in our faith. Why surrender my will in so many ways, in order to cooperate with whom? With Christ, in the salvation and sanctification of souls. Just a minute, Father. Are you saying that Christ needs our cooperation? Yes. In teaching Protestants, as I've said so often, 6 Protestant divinity schools, more than once during the lectures, I would tell them, you poor Protestants. And I meant it. You believe, oh, my dear Lutherans, or my dear Baptists, or my dear Anglicans, to name just 3 of the seminaries in which I taught. As Catholics, and as I've said, I'm sure, more than once, I was never asked, even on a single occasion, ever, I don't say to teach a semester or a year in a Protestant seminary on Protestantism. They couldn't care less. Always lecturing to them on Simon Pure, unadulterated Catholicism. And they loved it. And they had to take notes. Otherwise, these are Protestants, would fail a course in Catholicism. Bedrock in Protestant theology is that Christ died on the cross, and by his death on Calvary, that was it. Then some favored souls receive the grace of salvation. Others, poor dears, they won't be saved. How deeply our nation has been Protestantized. We as Catholics believe we've got a free will, and we will reach our heavenly destiny, of course, because of Christ's death on Calvary. He won all the graces that a million worlds would need to be saved. But no one will be saved without using his or her free will. And the heavier the cross, hear it again, the more we've got to use our wills. Thank God for the trials in your life. They are special graces, special gifts. Pardon me, the more crosses, the better. Father Hardin must be tired. No. Because the more demanding God's will, the more we've got to use our wills. And this is one of the conditions for gaining merit. In other words, when God created the human race, as faith tells us, already our first parents had to cooperate with God's grace. Had they cooperated, there would not have been what we call original sin. Would we, the descendants of our first parents, would we still have had to cooperate with God's grace? Yes. And that is the ultimate reason for consecrated life, to cooperate with God's grace and thereby cooperating with Him in the redemption and sanctification of souls. We are not to become holy. Heaven forbid to be canonized. We are to become holy in order to be more effective channels of God's grace to others. I hate to say this, but I think I should. The harder our life, the holier God wants us to become. And why? Because the holier we are, the more effective channels of God's grace we are to others. Now a new section. In the Holy Father's Apostolic Exhortation, this is the section called In Praise of the Trinity. We ask ourselves, how is consecrated life a holocaust? As we know, there were sacrifices and sacrifices in the old law. The most demanding sacrifice was what was called the Holocaust. Remember, we've said this how many times now over the years. Sacrifice is a surrender of something precious. Pardon me. Sacrifice is the voluntary surrender of something precious to God. If it's not precious, maybe good riddance or good business, but it's not a sacrifice. How you let go, how? With your will. The highest sacrifice known to God's revealed word is called Holocaust. How is consecrated life a Holocaust? Because it identifies a person with the complete offering of self to the love and service of God. And the key word is complete. And behind that adjective, complete, is not so much or mainly what we surrender. It is mainly how we give up. I should remember, but I don't know. What time do you sisters get up in the morning? 5:30. 5:30? You're lucky. Missionaries of Charity get up at 4:40. Then on feast days, big deal, they get up at 5:10. Oh, no, not again. It is the will in surrendering oneself, and this is all day. And that day, by the way, is 24 hours. How well I know. Next question. How complete is the self-commitment to the consecrated life? You would think the Pope by now would let go. No. He's got no illusions. But what is going on among once consecrated persons in so-called developed countries like our own? This self-commitment is to be total. With St. Paul, the consecrated person considers everything else as meaningless. Everything else, then what? You name it. Everything else is not just a dream, but a nightmare. You're on earth for one reason. Please, only one reason, to surrender our wills to the will of God. Then the Pope quotes St. Paul, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, by comparison with which they do not hesitate to count all things as refuse. Pardon the synonym. Everything else is garbage. In order that they may gain Christ. And for years, I've been telling our Lord, everything else in this world is absolutely meaningless, except to know and love you, my Jesus crucified. Oh, how much we religious have to learn, beginning with the speaker. To let go. And we don't let go just by giving up, say, things externally. We give up only on the measure in which we surrender our wills to the will of God, which is manifested. Oh, how divinely inventive God is. The last thing on earth, the very last thing we'd expect Him to ask us to surrender. Oh no, He whispers. Oh yes. Oh, the worst trial we can conceive. And I know what I'm talking about. The closer God wants us to become like His divine Son, the more He will, shall I use the verb, demand of us that terrible English language. I've told you how many times. The most non-Catholic language in the world is English. But God, being God, has a right to tell us to give up, and a right to tell us endure. And so far from weakening in our love for Christ, our love for Him grows. I know what I'm talking about. It grows in the measure in which we embrace the cross, you in your lives and I in mine. How is consecrated life the most radical way of living the gospel? Hear that word radical again. It is, we are told, the most radical way of living the gospel, because that is the way Christ lived, by living in obedience, with nothing of his own and in perfect chastity. What's the Pope doing? Identifying the three evangelical councils. In other words, that's what the consecrated life is. Life of Christ, lived out in the measure that we have received grace from Christ as God, through Christ as man, in order to become more and more like Him who is the God-man. Living in obedience. I've said this so many times, but worth repeating. I know I reached the age of reason when I was 4 years old, screaming on the kitchen floor as my mother was whipping me. She said, "Johnny, you stop screaming and I'll stop whipping." Thought to myself, "Well, that makes sense. See if it works." It worked. And I've said this how many times, called in by my novice master some 3 months after entering the Jesuits. Told me to sit down. I know I was in trouble. "What was wrong with you?" Then I told him, "Everyone has some failings. I must have some too. You tell me." "Hey, Dad, things you never forget." He felt an officer tell me, "You are an intellectual bully." And make people feel that you know everything. I never claimed to know everything, but I sure thought I knew more than they did. One month. To show some speck of humility. I've been working at it ever since. After 30 days, your fellow novices tell me there's been some slight growth in humility. You stay. Otherwise, the Society of Jesus can't do without your brains. Obedience. Now, as I've said for years, having my own former students as superiors, and you and I know how bright they are. Yet, obey them. And this is where St. Ignatius, by the way, if you have not yet read, get a copy and read St. Ignatius' Letter on Obedience. It's a masterpiece. The highest form of obedience, he says, is obedience of the mind, not just submitting the will, but even submitting the mind and seeing God behind what you're told to do. Then poverty. How we religious better live up to the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the more we've been accustomed to before entering the religious life, the harder it is to depend on what should be not just poverty in words, but poverty in practice. Doing without what those who are living in the world have a right to possess and enjoy. In these now 50 years, well, 49 years in giving retreats, how many communities need to examine their collective conscience and asking themselves, how truly, how sincerely are we living a life of evangelical poverty? And chastity, which now, as you know, in the new both code of canon law and the church's practice, is placed first, consecrated chastity first, then consecrated poverty, and closing with consecrated obedience. You'll see much more about all three before this retreat is over. We are only as authentically chaste as our minds are chaste, as our imaginations are chaste. In other words, true consecrated chastity is not only abstention from what we would all have had a right to marriage and marital intercourse with our spouse. Oh no, as religious, we are to give up and sacrifice even the thoughts, the desires, for what? Even for, say, the, well, happy company of a person of the opposite gender. We need to ask our Lord, Lord, teach me what it means to live a truly sacrificial life of consecrated chastity. Next question. Remember, Holy Father is talking in context about the role of the Trinity in consecrated life. How then is this life the work of the Holy Spirit? It is the work of the Holy Spirit because only by the grace which He provides, and the word is only by His grace, could anyone give him or herself so unreservedly to grow in the configuration of Christ. Big word. Let's make sure we know what it means. What does it mean to be configured to Christ? It means reflecting to the world in which we live, and always remember our principal apostolate is for our own fellow religious. Reflecting in our lives the superhuman virtues that the God-man practiced during his visible stay on earth. In other words, God became man, as we've said already and will repeat, not only to die for us, but to live among us and show us how we, as such pathetically human beings, are to live, not by any power of our own, but only by the power of His grace. And that is why. This needs to be said. Now, consecrated life is impossible. Impossible without the Eucharist. Impossible. When I spoke in Louisville, what day is today? Is it Monday? Last Saturday. I said I spoke on the Eucharist as a miracle worker. After the lecture, a married man came to talk to me. Another talk was going on, so I said, let's go into some quiet place. Found a door that opened. Kind of a warehouse room. No seats. Just some standing room. He said, Father, I believe what you said. But how can I get say to Mass, as you told us, every day? How can I receive Holy Communion daily? Got my job. I live at such a distance from a Catholic church. Guess what I told him? Have you thought of moving? We need the Eucharist. And there's one thing that you handmaids of the precious blood better both live and teach others, especially those whom Christ has ordained to the priesthood. That it is He, the same the streets of Palestine and perform walk the streets of Palestine and performed, as John says, signs and wonders, raise a Lazarus from the dead. You don't lose 7,000 priests, the lowest figure that Rome will release, leaving the priesthood in the United States since the close of the Second Vatican Council. You don't convert those who surely know their faith, except by a miracle of grace. And this is where we ourselves must believe, sincerely, deeply believe, that our lives as consecrated religious are humanly impossible. Period. And then smile. That's why Christ is on earth, to work miracles. Next question. It's been answered implicitly more than once, but now it comes out explicitly. Is consecrated life dedicated only to one's own sanctification? Absolutely no. none of us, no matter what ideas we may have had in our minds when we entered the religious life, none of us was called to live a consecrated life for ourselves, to become, well, more holy. In fact, I tell people, anyone who thinks that he or she is holy is in trouble. We are to serve others. And this document, as we've said at the beginning, applies to now consecrated persons in every state of life. And as you know, even the Holy See has changed the name of the congregation, what used to be, remember, the Congregation for Religious. Now the Congregation of or for the Consecrated Life. In other words, we are to grow in holiness by surrendering our wills in order to be channels of grace that we could not have been had we not entered the consecrated life. Over the years, I've counseled so many people and many perfect strangers, known only by telephone, whom I don't expect to meet this side of eternity. They're struggling with their vocation. What should I do? First of all, remember, God wants every one of us to make a lifetime commitment. And then if you further ask me, what form of lifetime commitment should I make? And my answer, standard by now, where you can do more good for others, more good for souls, where you can be a more effective channel of God's grace to others. As I've said how many times, there's one thing that I wanted to be, was a father. But large families, 10, 12 children. I don't think I've ever said this publicly before. I ask our Lord, hear it, for millions. So, what state of life should I embrace? That state of life in which, and I speak for all of us, in which we can bring more and more and still more souls either back to God if they've strayed, closer to God if they are tepid, and heroes of sanctity if they are serving God with their whole heart. And there's no other community in the church to which I can be as emphatic as I can be to you. Your vocation is to bring priests either back to God if they've strayed, closer to God if they are weak, and rising to the heights of priestly sanctity through your lives of total self-abandonment to the love of Christ crucified. Never in the history of the church has there been such a crisis in the priesthood as there is today. Someone had better live a life of total self-surrender to the will of God, who obtained for Christ's priests. And let me tell you, I know what they so desperately, and I mean that word literally, desperately need. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us the vocation to a consecrated life. While you know our weakness, we beg you, to the merits of your mother, to give us the strength we need to live nothing less than martyrs' lives in today's paganized world, especially, dear Savior, for the sanctification of your priests. Amen.